Well, hello, hello, hello. Welcome, everybody, once again to another episode of The Cosmic Show. I am your host, The Cosmic Router. I will be rocking it solo tonight, but we have a lot to talk about. It's almost like a yearly ritual at this point to talk about Davos, but we have some very interesting clips to cover from Davos. Javier Milei made a speech that made the rounds. It was pretty interesting stuff, it looks like. I'm trying to figure out if Rumble is working. I don't think I'm streamed to Rumble right now, so let me go ahead and add it as a destination, because I don't think it worked. I linked the API stream key to it, and I'm not seeing... Oh, here I am. I'm on the screen. All right, it's just a little bit late. But we're going to get into the show now. Sorry for you audio-only listeners. Remember, you can find this show on podcastindex.org, Spotify, Apple, and many other platforms. So with that, looks like StreamYard is letting me post comments to both Rumble and YouTube now and receive them through the broadcasting software. So let's check it out. I'm going to say hi, guys. If you're out there on Rumble watching, please go ahead and drop a comment. I commented there earlier and it worked. Might be a few seconds delay. Also, remember, you can call in tonight, 1-505-337-0631. That is the Skype line. You can call in, leave a message, or talk to me live. And once again, I'm not sure if I said it already, but first 15 minutes are going to be on YouTube. And then it gets cut in favor of Rumble. So make sure you get there. You get there quick, guys. Looks like I'll be able to receive comments or chats from Rumble, but I don't know if my chats go out to Rumble itself. Very interesting to see Rumble start to be integrated with some of these platforms, but it's very annoying that it hasn't gone smoother with StreamYard. Anywho, let's get into some of my favorite stories on the internet, some of the favorite things I came across on Twitter today. That's basically what the first 15 minutes ends up being. I keep forgetting to pop out the chat on Rumble. All right, here we go. Got the chat up. Let's see. Let's present the screen. I'm a little slow to get going tonight because I was hoping to have Mars Bars on, but he's not feeling so good. So we'll see what the show ends up being like. Right now, I'm just sharing the Rumble chat to show you that I do read your chats, and I try to, trying to be a big dog, trying to be as interactive as possible. And who else is top dog? One of the top dogs in the UFC right now is Sean Strickland. And he's like one of the most controversial figures out there. But I love his truth. I love that he's a breath of fresh air. Man, I can't talk or anything today. But he was dealing with this one troll-ass reporter from Canada who said a lot of dumb, very effeminate stuff. And he got roasted, said the wrong thing to the wrong person. Let's check out what Sean Strickland said.
I'm glad to hear it. It's been great.
Are you Canadian?
Of course I am.
Are you part of the fucking opposition? Are you?
I don't know how to phrase that.
You got like fucking...
Well, I did want to ask
you. Did you vote for Trudeau?
You know, I'm not going to say.
And let me tell you something right now. A man says he's not going to say. Like, if you ask a motherfucker, did you vote for Biden? He's like, well, I'm not going to say. That's none of your business. He voted for fucking Biden.
Sean, I'm glad you had grace.
By the way, I don't know who set up his their microphone set up in their audio, but it's terrible. I don't know if that was MMA Junkie set up or if that is like the UFC's, but call me if you need help, man.
So this is what I'm talking about, you guys. The enemy of Canada.
Sure. That's what it's got to be. We've got a pretty supportive gay and lesbian community in this city. I did want to ask you about something you wrote a couple of years ago. You said if I had a gay son, I would think I'd.
Oh, look, another. I'm saying in the swamp, you guys. A swamp.
You become a champion. You become a star, and someone says,
"Let me ask you something. Are you gay?
I had the chance to come back with a more diverse.
Are you? Let me. Are you gay?
Can I get an answer?
Well, I'm asking. This is a part of. Are you a gay man?
I'm an ally of the community.
Okay. If you had a son and he was like, you know, he had a son, he was gay, you'd be like, oh man, you don't, you.
Could you imagine the words say, words come out of your mouth, I'm an ally of the community? That is, that's phenomenal.
Want a grandkid?
No problem with it.
Oh man, well, dude, you're a weak fucking man, dude. You're like, you're part of the fucking problem. You elected Justin Trudeau. Like, when you fucking, when he sees the bank accounts, like, you're just fucking pathetic. And the fact that you have no fucking backbone, and has he shut down your fucking country and seized bank accounts? You ask me some stupid shit like that, go fuck yourself. Move the fuck on, man.
That doesn't really answer the question, but I did want to ask also things you said about the trans community. You said this past October when they announced the Bud Light sponsorship that you'd go so hard on Bud Light in your next fight, they'll have to accept me or denounce me when they know what, and will know what they stand for.
Are you, this guy's like, hey, this Canadian's not that Canadian.
Are you still going to use your fight time to kind of speak on that?
Here's the thing about Bud Light. Here's the thing about Bud Light. 10 years ago, to be trans was a mental fucking illness. And now all of a sudden, people like you have fucking weaseled your way in the world. You are an infection. You are the definition of weakness. Everything that is wrong with the world is because of fucking you. And the best thing is the world's not buying it. The world's not buying your fucking bullshit you're fucking peddling. The world is not saying, you know what? You're right. Fucking chicks have dicks. The world's not saying that. The world's saying, no, there are two genders.
I have to pause really quick. Ivor says the chat is kind of down on Rumble, so if you can't chat in, that's lame. But Ivor says hi.
I don't want my kids being taught about, you know, who they could fucking school. I don't want my kids being taught about, you know, their sexual preference. Like, dude, this guy is a fucking enemy. You want to look at the fucking enemy to our world? It's that motherfucker right there. Asking these stupid fucking questions. Sorry, I told the UFC I was being nicer. Lance, am I still doing this? Did I cross any lines? Yeah. Look, what the fuck? I didn't say the F word. You just brought this fucking guy in here to piss me off.
Hilarious. All over some Bud Light and some kind of activist from Canada who's masquerading as an MMA journalist. What a bizarre world we're in where an MMA journalist comes in there and is comfortable bringing up something from years ago. He said himself years ago about some comments. I would just be so pissed off. I would not entertain the thought of that. And I would just have shut down on him after saying some words to him. But Sean, you know, I'm excited to see him fight this weekend. I think I might be in the minority where I think he's going to beat Dricus, and I don't think it's going to be very close. I even envision a stoppage, maybe third or fourth round. I just don't buy into the Dricus hype. He's had some really good wins. Also seen him almost die in a fight, I think. He almost got knocked out and won not too long ago. I think Derek Brunson had him pretty life and death for a while. So I'll be rooting for Sean Strickland this weekend, and I can't wait to find an illegal stream to watch it. All right, let's go on to our next video. Every once in a while, one of my favorite conspiracies that's not a conspiracy at all, it's 100% fact, just comes back into the mainstream media. It's usually in an election year. It's usually to divide people in the news community and on Twitter amongst themselves. But, you know, P-Gate is back. Spaghetti Fence, if you will. On Logan Paul's show, he had Chris Hansen on, and Chris Hansen seemed to have been running cover for P-Gate. Very, very shady stuff, Chris Hansen. You should know better. You're supposed to be the expert, dog. Let's check it out. This is what he had to say. Credit to Logan Paul's co-host. What's his name? I think his name is Mike Malik or Malkjik. I was trying to see. Oh, okay. Here we go. Mike Malik, probably. I think the J is silent, perhaps. I don't know. Let's watch this video.
Versus predators.
Well, pizza has a role in pedophilia. Without it, well,
yeah.
Isolate that sentence. No. No, you say.
See, right away, we're getting spicy. So if this drops out from YouTube, do not be surprised. That's why you got to go to Rumble, okay? Got to go to rumble.com/C/cosmicradio. That's me on Rumble, okay? And I also want to point you guys to my website. https://cosmicrotter33.wixsite.com /thecosmicshow with spaces in between the and cosmic and show. I'm going to leave it right there. Make sure you take a picture of that. Go check out the site. I update it instantly as soon as the streams are done with new videos. The podcast gets uploaded there, and I link some news stories for you guys to check out as well. So it's a free site right now. I'm trying to figure out what pro will get me, and I might buy my own domain name pretty soon. So I'm trying to really do the show this year.
No, I know you're talking about Pizzagate.
Correct.
Which is a totally made up thing.
Okay. Can we please get into some of this shit right now? Are you cool with it?
Yeah, I'm fine with whatever you guys want to do, but it is all BS.
Okay.
I have no idea what y'all are talking about.
Hang on.
It's this whole conspiratorial.
Okay. Maybe you can explain it better, but I'll give you a quick rundown. Basically, as I mentioned earlier, a swath of society has become obsessed with elitism.
This has been going on for 10 years.
Probably. Right. Yeah. But remember when I used to talk about like QAnon and like that type of shit? And at the time, it was a smaller base. I think they've really found a footing, especially with X and their ability to kind of weaponize or materialize. But basically, there's this belief that elitists or politicians ordering pizza symbolizes them ordering underage boys and girls, basically.
Pizzagate, yeah.
So
the FBI says this is a known fact of the true crime community.
Like, for example, there's like this, I don't even know if it's real, but there's this like transcript of a call from like Obama to order like pizza and hot dogs to the White House. Right. And they think that means that he was ordering.
Yeah, but it's all I guarantee you, I can predict without fear of contradiction. It's all conspiratorial BS
for sure.
And you're
for
sure.
I'm positive.
What makes you so sure? Because I want to.
Why are you so positive, Chris Hansen?
There's absolutely no evidence of it. And if anybody would know, somebody would come to me and say, this is the deal.
They would let me know. They would tell me about it, Chris Hansen.
You need to look at this. It doesn't exist. It's been investigated. It's been reviewed. It is all BS.
And you realize, so just so you know, this led to an actual one of these people going into a pizza place that I think it was called Comet Pizza or Ping Pong. I don't remember what it was. And I think it was,
well, there was a pizza place in Virginia in suburban Washington, D.C.
Yep.
That allegedly this was going on,
where these kids were actually being harbored
there was also a thing 2 years ago where there was a rumor and a conspiracy theory that if you ordered furniture from a discount Wayfair, that you were actually ordering a child.
Kids in a cabinet.
Again,
do you feel like these conspiracies and stories actually do a disservice?
Discount furniture at a price in the tens of thousands of dollars?
Service to the real work that's being done?
I think they do, but I think that's part of having an open digital culture. I mean, anybody can say anything at any given time and it can catch fire. People have said stuff about all kinds of people. Anybody who's in the public world has been somehow, tortured or lied about. People say Twitter hates it. Twitter hates everything.
They did.
Twitter hates everything.
A lot of misinformation there about Pizzagate from the co-hosts as well as Chris Hansen. Chris Hansen said discount furniture. No, it was a discount furniture site that had extraordinarily weird postings that made people think about that they might be trafficking children. It's not. They ran a lot of cover. He said Comet Ping Pong was where they were ordering the children from. Not true. It's just a place where some of the rituals happened, and James Alefantis might or might not have been performing in drag in that weird band as the lead singer. That's just wrong. Like, it was a place where the elites were thought to have frequented, and why a weird pizza joint, right? We can't say too much about it. We're still on the YouTube part of the show. But believe it or not, that's amazing. It's amazing what we talk about here. But with that, let's go ahead and end the YouTube stream. We'll see you on Rumble. Thank you, guys. This is a little bit of a preview. This should drive you to Rumble. Go to rumble.com/C/cosmicradio, and we'll continue the show from there. This is a remove the destination. Remove. All right, it looks like we are back. We are back live with the Rumble folks. Let's go ahead and see who's in the chats. Go ahead and try one more time to chat. Let's see if it comes up on my StreamYard. It was coming up here, right here. Yeah, There's my Rumble. Cosmic Marauder is my username on Rumble. Very weird how it's not letting Ivor check. Oh, hey, what's up, Mars Bars Bars Bars? That's my co-host. He should be here tonight. He should be right here, dang it. But we're glad to hear him. Oh, yeah, now that we're back on Rumble, we just covered a Pizzagate story on YouTube with Logan Paul's co-hosts and Chris Hansen. Very strange. This has been circling around lately, too. It's about Laura Silsby, the main lady behind the Clinton Foundation's trafficking scandal in Haiti. So this is a relevant video, I think, loosely tied to that. It's a little bit of a tangent before we start talking about Davos. But hey, they're all evil, right? Illuminati Bot says Laura Silsby and the Clintons were caught red-handed kidnapping and attempted human trafficking children out of Haiti. The mainstream media covered it up, but here's the real story. Let's check it out. 3 minutes, 40 seconds. From Return of Cappy.
Any comment? No comment.
Not right now.
In November of 2009, a woman named Laura Silsby founded a nonprofit, the New Life Children's Refuge, which described its mission as attempting to rescue orphaned and abandoned children in Haiti and Dominican Republic. 2 months later, on January 29th, 2010, Silsby was arrested for attempting to traffic 33 orphaned children out of Haiti without documentation.
These are some of the 33 Haitian children an American Baptist group allegedly tried to unlawfully take out of the country on Saturday.
Laura Silsby says the group paid no money for the children.
The mistake, obviously, we made is we did not understand that there was additional paperwork required.
We would later learn through WikiLeaks that Hillary Clinton was sent email updates from Uma Abedin and other associates regarding Silsby's incarceration and developing legal case. This was not the first time Silsby found herself facing child trafficking charges. Silsby had been caught once before by Haitian police attempting to traffic 40 children out of the country. However, in that incident, no charges were brought.
Two times? They got her twice?
Brought against her, and she was merely turned back at the border. A week after Silsby was apprehended the second time, on February 7th, 2010, former President Bill Clinton appointed Silsby a lawyer by the name of Jorge Puello. Puello was successful in getting Silsby's charges reduced to 6 months. Jorge Puello also had a colorful history with human trafficking. He was convicted of operating an international sex trafficking ring involving women and underage girls out of Central America and Haiti. Puello's wife was also arrested on the same charges. In 2011, Silsby was appointed as CFO of the software company Conexus and would later become its vice president of marketing.
This is a very bizarre connection, all right? We're about to get into some very unsettling stuff right here.
IPAW's functions is to issue Amber Alerts to the public in the event of kidnapping. The Amber Alert system was set up during Bill Clinton's presidency. In 2015, Laura Silsby married Norman Gaylor and took his last name, which is how her name now appears on the Conexus website. How does a woman who was caught multiple times attempting to traffic children internationally get promoted to the executive team of the preeminent kidnapping warning system in the country? Izette Folger, a close friend of Clinton associate James Alefantis, gave a statement in support of Silsby during her trial. Folger is the daughter of Michael Maccabee, who coaches leaders of Nuestros Pequeños Hermanos, or NPH, a large organization that runs orphanages all over the world. Folger's son, Max Maccabee, is on the board of directors of an NPH orphanage called Friends of the Orphans, which is one of the 760 orphanages operating in Haiti and happens to be the exact orphanage from which Silsby was caught trafficking children.
Are there even 660 orphanages in the United States of America? I work in the child welfare system, and I just want to posit, probably not. But what would you call an orphanage here? You would call it like a treatment facility center, a treatment center, treatment foster care. So if we go by that metric, it's astronomical here. But in terms of specific kind of orphanages that are nonprofits, I don't think there's 660.
Curiously, Max McAbee gave an emphatic and lengthy statement of support for Comet Pizza during a contentious neighborhood commission meeting back when the Pizzagate controversy exploded. It is also worth noting here that Frank Giustra, owner of the Radcliffe Foundation, is on the board of directors for the Clinton Foundation and is a major donor to the organization. The logo of El Pita Home, a refugee center founded by the Radcliffe Foundation, happens to be almost identical in shape and color to the boy lover symbol that the FBI declassified in 2007. Scandals seem to follow the Clintons. Their ties to pedophilia don't end there.
It never ends with them. The Clintons are so evil. It's such an example of what a cacistocracy is that it's unfathomable. In case you don't know, a cacistocracy, I've talked about this a lot, but it's the idea that people are generally in political systems end up being ruled by the worst. In democracies, in places where there's proportional representation in the government, like, we kind of end up voting for our own demise. Or the reasons why we elect people are so divisive, but for the same reason overall, they drive the same emotion out of people, but just on different sides of the logic. It's, oh man, we are ruled by the worst. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. Never give these people the time of the day, okay? Really. Dirty motherfuckers. All right, let's go ahead. What do we have? We got a couple of more quick videos before we get to the WEF, and it's going to be pretty great. We have a lot of really funny videos tonight, and we have a lot of big questions, so I'm really happy that you guys are here joining me on Cosmic Radio on Rumble, the Cosmic Show, hosted on Spotify and Apple, podcastindex.org. Make sure you catch the audio onlys there and support that as well. If you miss this show and you're traveling, you want a high quality recorded audio podcast. Like, I'm not like Joe Rogan quality, but it's pretty good with the Buzzsprout app with this magic mastering I pay for. So, and with that, make sure you support my show. Donate to my locals, thecosmicshow.locals.com. But I really just want you guys to chat. I really just want y'all to chat in the Rumble a little bit more. That's it. Mars got the idea. It's awesome I'm able to see your chats and show them, but I can't chat to you. I'll have to address it verbally, which is cool. I'm cool with that. I saw some highlights from one of the most interesting fight concepts I've ever heard in my life, okay? And I'm all for it. Mikey Thomas tweeted out, "Crackhead fights his dealer in MMA bout in Russia at Epic Fighting, and let's make it happen, people. This is how we get people off of addiction and off the streets, I think." He's like, that's for the time he made me S the D for the crack.
Анонсер выступил в роли бойца. И это впервые имел взгляд Борецкого. Он два монгола могут убегать.
By the way, his dealer looks just like Kingpin, and he got dropped.
Ой, ой, смотри, уранчон сливается.
Сегодня с ним его нет. И вдруг выходит Стас Борецкий против монгол. Непобедимый монгол. Ой, ой. И вдруг Стас Борецкий, непонятно.
Ой, что здесь произошло?
Ой.
In Thailand, they have a prison fight thing where you fight for your life. Yeah, like life sentences and like decades-long prisoners get to like fight for their chance at freedom against like a real trained martial artist. Wild. He dropped so hard. And it's weird, their head don't move, but when they get hit in the jaw, they still fall like a sack of bricks. But it's just like a bowling ball falling, or like a pillar at Stonehenge. It's just like, boom. slow motion. You gotta check that out, man. Crackhead versus dealer fights, okay? Brought to you only by The Cosmic Show. I'm such a fucking psychopath, and I love you guys that stick it out. One more time, we have open lines, okay? 1-505-337-0631. Call in the show. If you want life advice, let me know. You want to talk about Davos and Javier Milei, which I'm definitely interested in. That's what I want to hear. Or if there's something you've seen before this on the show, let's talk about it. Pick up that phone, hit that dial, call up your man, the Cosmic Marauder. All right. Tim Pool had a meltdown the other day. Laura Loomer, some other person, I can't remember who it was, and Ian and Tim all decided to try to have a, I think it was a January 6th debate, but it degenerated quick, and Tim Pool just, he ate it on this one. He's going to take a big L on this. He was very terrible during the show, but Anomaly tweeted, at Legendary Energy, Tim Pool is a psychotic breakdown when Luke calmly states facts and says he would prefer Trump acknowledge COVID vaccine stuff as opposed to his current rhetoric. And Tim starts screaming at everyone like a demon. And that's not even inaccurate. That's about right. That's what happened.
Everything else was gone. That one was like just.
And it's not the first
I still
time.
Think I we need an acknowledgement from Donald about what happened to Operation Warp Speed. There's been a lot of Americans.
By the way, I keep telling my coworker friends that voted Trump and everybody around me, like, I can't vote again because he's not acknowledging that. He's not acknowledging his part in Warp Speed. It's terrible.
That have been injured. One of them was here at the.
I'm tunnel. So sick of talking
we,
about
we,
this.
We
dude.
Have
I'm
we
just,
have
I'm
we
so,
haven't
I'm
had
just,
it.
I'm just
it's
started.
Still a major Listen. Issue because let's just say he comes into office. The CIA, Peter Daszak, Echo Health Alliance. All they have to do is restart and do whatever they did again, because there isn't. A conversation about, hey, I learned my lesson. Hey, there's some mistake. I should have done something better. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. When still
he accuses Luke Rakowski of having Trump derangement.
He's telling people to get boosted just a few freaking months
ago. The policies and it's funny when I see journal like these centrist type journalists who don't like Donald Trump actually arguing with people over this. And they're putting things like, man, I really don't like Trump. But Operation Warp Speed was therapeutics and vaccines by choice. It was never forcing people to get medical treatments. And when that happened, he came out and said, they shouldn't be doing this. And
by the way, I very much hate that I'm dressed and a lot like him right now. And I have the facial hair and the beanie. I'm like, oh man, I hate this. But it's just kind of cold in Albuquerque and I don't want to turn my heat up all the way, guys. My head's cold now that I'm bald, okay?
And now, years later, I'm just like, dude, it's 4 years later. Okay, I get it.
Yeah.
We should never forget how bad those things were. But it's weird to me that we look at these blue state governors who literally murdered people in New York, and it's like, but Donald Trump, it funded
also,
scientific
can
research.
Can I just say something, too? Can I just say, it goes back to the concept of revolution. Look, I understand people have to provide for their families, and so I'm not trying to sound
By the
like
way, what a creature Laura Loomer is, man. Look at how much oil and grease she needs on her face. And that chin is quite strong for a lady. Just throwing that out there. She's a piece of work, man. Trump derangement syndrome. Talk about Israel derangement syndrome.
The cold-hearted bitch with what I'm about to say. But everybody has choices. Everybody has free will. And I'm really sick and tired of listening to people say things like, oh, I would have lost my job, or, oh, well, you know, I would have been fired. You either stand for something or you fall for everything. And if more people in this country would have stood up and taken to the streets and fought back against these tyrannical lockdowns, President Trump never forced the vaccine on anyone. President Trump never forced extended lockdowns. President Trump never forced people to wear masks.
But Trump
allowed their children to
Thomas
be forcefully Macy, vaccinated.
Who was against lockdowns. Trump attacked Sweden, who decided not to lock down. That's a fact. I still want an acknowledgement
true.
Of it. And because we don't have an acknowledgement of
okay,
it,
okay.
because Trump still believes that the vaccine saved hundreds of millions of lives,
let me take it
the
into
scenario
it.
Could again unfold.
Okay, I'll tell you why I'm done with this. Because the anti-Trump people say Trump did the exact same thing Ron DeSantis did, but Trump was wrong when he did. And then the DeSantis people are like, DeSantis did the same thing that Trump did, but DeSantis was right when he... I'm like, dude, in the beginning of COVID and the lockdowns, Donald Trump said 15 days to slow the spread. And we were all, not everybody, but a lot of people were like, okay, well, we don't know what's going on. And now that we have hindsight, you have people being like, Ron was correct. No, Trump was correct. No, Ron. Dude, I don't think we need to adjudicate what happened 4 years ago. Now that we have hindsight. site, and we can talk about it today.
But then it's not fair to go after DeSantis.
And now what's going to happen is,
if you can't criticize Trump on this, why are you going
to talk about it? Everyone's going to just keep going back to 4 years.
Yeah.
4 years ago, 4 years ago, 4 years ago.
No, I'm asking what happens next year? Can we get an AG that actually...
I always talk shit to this guy on Twitter. This is Clint Russell, a.k.a. he got trolled as being called pedo Fred Durst for a while back for this discussion he held with Thaddeus Russell. And to take, I bet you, deep down, he would take back, but he's not. He's still doing his thing. Liberty lockdown with Clint Russell. I don't like how much he simps for Javier Milei, but he's very hilarious. And then Fred Durst retweeted. He's like, this is not me. Please don't put my name in your mouth or something.
He looks in to the creation, the funding, all that.
Can we arrest Fauci? Please arrest Fauci. That matters.
All I'm trying to say is that, you know, people have their opinions, very strong opinions about COVID. I'm, you know, the biggest Trump supporter there is, and I never took the vaccine, never got boosted, never will. I'm a proud anti-vaxxer.
But Trump did get boosted. Right?
I just want to see more personal.
I'm losing my fucking mind.
I feel like I'm moderating
you guys
a zero hedge
shut
debate.
The fuck up.
Yeah, dude.
Shut
this
the
is what
fuck
I felt
up.
Like
yeah.
at the zero hedge debate,
dude,
by the way.
Holy fucking shit.
Let's just not
we
talk
get
over
it.
Each other.
I have had this debate 7,000 times.
Hey,
yeah.
And I'm sorry. I'm losing my fucking mind. I am so over people being like, Trump.
Oh, Timmy. And what Ian's talking about is the Destiny Alex Jones debate with Nick Fuentes also. That was one for the ages, too. I like the Zionist debate hosted by Ethan. What's his name? Is his name Ethan Schaefer? Not Ethan Schaefer. Is it Ethan Schaefer? It must be. Hold on. Just want to make sure. Oh, man, I don't want to search over there. For some reason, I know that's his name, but it's going to bug me if that's not exactly his name. Elijah Schaefer. That's who it is. Duh. I didn't even have to look at it. Now it came back to me. Elijah Schaefer. His debate where he hosted Bandop video host against Nick Fuentes and his ally. That was the best one of all time.
Trump was bad because Trump did a thing.
I agree with you.
We did not know what was happening 4 years ago. And now we are 4 years on with mass illegal immigration, 10,000 people per day. And you're talking about a vaccine program for 4 years ago. Here we go again.
The comments were made a couple of weeks ago by Donald Trump about this.
Donald Trump came out and said it should be your choice.
Yes, that's my point.
We're done.
He said you should get
this. Do you guys think that the reason why we talk about...
Okay, all right, let's solve this.
I'm not
talking
about
doctor. Talk to a doctor.
He gave you two choices, right? You comply, you could not comply. If you lost your job over it, there's no executive order protecting that, right? There was nothing protecting people who didn't take the vaccine. He kind of just allowed whatever was to happen to those people to happen to those people. And I'm going to tell you that I was in fear of my job. My last employer completely kept us on a list. They peer pressured us to get it. And I just was one of the few people that steadfastly declined it. And almost everybody I talked to that is honest about it. I've had multiple people disclose to me they wish they never got it. That were my coworkers and my friends. So I think Trump definitely does deserve some blame on it. And whenever they break out the next lockdown on his ass, I don't want him to be anywhere near the top because he's already shown he's going to comply. Anywho. That's my little diatribe on that subject. We're going to get to the Davos Forum now, the WEF. And it's a topic that drives conspiracy theorists wild as well. It's getting mainstreamed a lot lately. Like, larger world leaders are having YouTube live streams like Zelensky and all that. So, you know, I think the common person is starting to learn more and more about this. So whatever's disclosed there, you still got to take it with a grain of salt. 80% of it is probably accurate, and there's 20% that's going to send people like us down a rabbit hole. So it's bizarre. This is a weird one. Somehow Javier Milei was allowed to come back and speak at the World Economic Forum. But Liberty, libertarian types, they're just falling for the trick, man. They're falling for the snake oil salesman right in front of our eyes. And I'm really trying to get to some of the bigger accounts on Twitter by talking shit to them, but they just don't understand that they're setting Argentina up. They're going to make an example out of this guy. It's going to work in the short term. Houses and apartments that couldn't be rented out are going to be rented out or bought at a discount price. It's going to look good. He's going to temporarily try to stifle their massive inflation, which I'm just going to tell you, nobody can stifle that inflation because Argentina is one of the original countries that owed its whole national sovereignty to the World Bank when the World Bank was created. So there's not going to be any real solutions in Argentina. They're going to set them up for a fall. I don't know if it's a year from now. I don't know if it's 2 years from now. I don't know when it will be timed. But the people will turn against him in Argentina. I could almost bet it, whether it's foreign influenced or not, or it's organic. I was a Latin American politics major, okay, in school. I did 4 years. I almost graduated before I melted down. But I'm just telling you, everything about my insight suggests this is going to happen. So I don't want anybody to be in support of Milei. He's probably there for a controlled demolition of Argentina's economy even further. And say hello to 15 Minute Cities and Disease X preparation. All right. That's my take. You know, I feel bad. Feel bad to say that for the folks out in Argentina, but this is going to be a weird, weird thing to follow. And I'm here for the arc, for the story. So this happened at the World Economic Forum, okay? They have natives there, or I don't know what. Let's just see what kind of performance this is. It's like a shitty black Bjork.
Like a flower or tree, I'll throw my head back and see.
This is more jazzy or something. That was beautiful. This is the World Economic Forum. Our leaders in action. Let's go to the next thing. There's got to be some more. Oh, yeah, this is the one I wanted to share. This is from I Fight for Kids. Shout out Alex Rosen. Alex Rosen catches child predators, and he's on a massive trip right now. So I want everybody to go to his locals, Predator Poachers. I don't know if it's, what is it, Pea Poachers? Go find his locals and subscribe to him. It's the best damn locals on the internet. And he's hoping to catch 20 to 30 people on this trip. So. He really does it, man. Arrests in 44 states or convictions? I think convictions in 44 states. I don't know. I don't know the exact details. He says it on every stream. Go follow Alex Rosen. He's awesome. The WEF summed up in 54 seconds. This video is from Mario Nafal, reposted from Alex Rosen.
No Kamai, no Kanwaka, na Anuri, no Yuyuwa, na Wahon Shinan, Vupunk, and Tushinan Shavawakin, Shinan Mukikirani, Tsai Shavakirani, Tsai Mukikirani.
I got the chills, bro. She's doing some kind of curse. I can feel a curse. Massive L for the world. Oh my God. That was so much funnier than I had ever hoped for. Oh. Wow. Wowie wow wow. Okay. Let's see. What's the next video I want to share from this? I don't want to talk about Javier Milei quite yet, even though we should. We should get to him at some point. Let's watch this video. I guess Rebel News and Alex Jones are covering Davos, and somebody confronted the head of the ADL. So we've got a quick 2 minute, 24 second video.
How you doing, Jonathan?
Good.
Can I ask you something?
I'm meeting somebody. I'm sorry.
I'll walk with you. Are you like the boy who cried wolf?
Are you?
For so many years, you cried anti-Semitism and you found hatred everywhere, and then finally, I've been from Rebel News.
What's Rebel News?
Rebel News. It doesn't matter. But finally, now when the world has turned so anti-Semitic, no one believes us because of people like you and the work you've done over so many years. Destroying our allies, making lists about our allies, people that actually defend us. You've been a big part of that problem, haven't you? Do you know the boy that cried wolf?
I'm not familiar with this story. Why don't you explain it to me?
Jonathan, I it's not a joke because the Jews around the world, we are feeling the pain, and you've alienated so many of our allies. What about Elon Musk? Somebody that's been so good? No, you got a message for Elon? Thank you, Jonathan. There you go. Nothing to say. Censorship in real life. I bet you I'm going to be on a list tomorrow. Jonathan Greenblatt is a man that has cried anti-Semitism for years. He has found hate. He has made it his job to find hate and anti-Semitism and Jew hatred where it hasn't been. Now, the problem with that is fast.
That's perfect. That's a perfect statement.
Fast forward to October 7, where many of us Jews are finally seeing real anti-Semitism, but so much of the world is numb to it and don't believe it because he's cried it for so many years. The Jonathan Greenblatts of the world who label anyone with an opposing view as a racist and as anti-Semite, and now suddenly in our darkest days, we have no one left to support us. That is why we're here. WEFreports.com, bookmark and support our work.
All right. Good shit. I know there's more clips down here I saved. We got a lot to talk about. Let's go to YouTube for a quick video. I think we've got some videos on YouTube to go through. I got so many bookmarks on Davos that it's quite crazy. How about this one from Wide Awake Media? The plan of the Great Reset is that you'll die with nothing. This is an Australian Senator, Malcolm Roberts, in the Australian Parliament. This is not Davos.
Instead of working together to push Klaus Schwab's World Economic Forum plan based on United Nations policies, work together instead for our country. Klaus Schwab's life by subscription, quote, is really serfdom. It's slavery. Billionaire globalist corporations will own everything, homes, factories, farms, cars, furniture. And everyday citizens will rent what they need, if their social credit score allows. The plan of the Great Reset is that you will die with nothing. To pull off this evil plan, Klaus Schwab's World Economic Forum will need to take more than just material possessions from Australians. Senators in this very chamber today who support the Great Reset threaten our privacy, freedom, and dignity. Yes, they're in this Senate chamber. One Nation vehemently opposes the Great Reset, the digital identity bill, theft of agricultural land use, forcing farmers off their land, and all of the Great Reset. One Nation has a comprehensive plan to bring our beautiful country back to sustainable prosperity. And in the months ahead, we will be rolling that plan out. Instead of LibLab pushing Klaus Schwab's Great Reset with the tagline, "You will own nothing and be happy," One Nation advocates the Great Resist. We stand for a world where individuals and communities have primacy over predatory globalist billionaires and their quisling bureaucrats, politicians, and mouthpiece media. One Nation accepts the challenge to provide a better future for everyday Australians. We have one flag, we are one community, and we are one nation.
Well, that guy will never advance in Australian politics. All right, noted. Very sucky for him. Sucky for that dude. Let's go ahead and check out a couple of YouTube videos before we get to Javier Milei. And once again, I want to ask everybody out there on Rumble, join the chat. I also, one more call to action. Please call in tonight. I'm here to take your calls. I have my Skype pulled up. It's 1-505-337-0631. Call in and let me know your opinions of the show, the topics at hand. And yeah, look forward to hearing from you. Let's see. Bill Gates says AI's biggest productivity advance of our age. They still let him talk at Davos, guys. He's a celebrity.
Well, AI, I'd say that, you know, it's going to raise productivity generally. In normal capital markets with great competition from Microsoft and Google will drive that. And you should all pay attention because it is so dramatic how it improves white-collar productivity. And later with the robotics, not yet, but eventually blue-collar productivity. So that is phenomenal for the world. The world will be richer and, you know, can work less and have more. The place where it's with equity, and we have a huge commitment to make sure there's not this normal 20-year lag between benefit to the rich versus to developing countries, is that there's a bigger teacher shortage in Africa than elsewhere, a bigger doctor shortage. And so not only will we invent new tools using AI, like the ultrasound, we will provide health advice and directly, you know, in their local African language, fully tailored to the conditions in those countries.
This guy is such a damn racist.
We will provide an AI doctor. We will provide an AI tutor. And already we funded lots of Africans.
AI tutor, funding lots of Africans.
Pilot studies and to take the very best technology
Ivor!
At about the same time as it'll happen in the rich world. In fact, in a few cases, rich world regulations may make it roll out slower than in countries like India or in Africa. So it's a race, but it's a race for good. And, you know, I couldn't be more.
Shout out Ivor. He's in and connected to the chat on my StreamYard. I'm very happy to see that the Rumble has a one-way input for the chats now. I can't chat from you on StreamYard, so it's more difficult to chat through Rumble, the Rumble chat. But either way, I can at least talk and address your chats now. That's awesome to see.
More thrilled, you know, it's a case where my work, ongoing work with Microsoft, you know, helps me understand how we take this into the developing countries.
So, but overall, you're net positive on AI in general, globally.
AI is a brilliant tool for people to be more productive. Now, it means the bad guys will be more productive, so they can do more.
You bastard. You're the bad guy. You're the guy.
Cyber attack, so they can design weapons. You always, you know, the internet, the microprocessor, all these things helped everybody be more efficient, including the bad guys. And so you've got to make sure the best AI for cyber defense or, you know, measures to defend against bioterrorism are in the hand of the good guys. And, you know, it's a challenge, but, you know, people sometimes lose sight of the fact that this is the biggest productivity advance in our lifetimes.
You bastard, Bill Gates. Ivor says, Javier Milei's speech was amazing. I would have sex with that woolly booger if I swung that way. You know what? Like, I'm just going to go ahead and outline what's going to happen this year, okay? Javier Milei is going to be discredited, like I went on my diatribe 15 minutes ago about how he's being set up as a puppet to dissuade any libertarian talk or political concepts of the future, right? They're going to cement this in academia, a case study of libertarianism in Argentina, blah, 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 blah. Okay. They're going to get Trump in there. All this anti-Semitism stuff is going to come to a head. Anti-Arabism is going to come to a head also and counter to that. So we all kinds of protests going on, and somehow Trump's going to make his way back to the White House is to be the savior of it all. But in reality, it's going to lead us into World War III, probably increased involvement in Ukraine, increased involvement with Israel on behalf of Israel in the Middle East, probably some kind of conflict or scuffles with Iran. I hope not, but it's weird because it's going to be Trump at the head of it again. He's going to be the fall guy again. And everybody's going to hate him, but elect him again. It's very bizarre. I don't know what to make of it anymore. I've lost all faith. I have no hope left. And Vivek Ramaswamy is just S-ing that Donald D. S-ing the Donald D all the way around, okay? I do have a Javier Milei clip. I'm guessing it's going to be in Spanish and subtitles. So for you audio-only podcast listeners, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. I don't know. I'm watching it for the first time. Here's a six-minute clip. I doubt we'll watch the entire thing, but his whole speech is up on several platforms.
Given the dismal failure of collectivist models and the undeniable advances in the free world.
So it's just to clarify, it's him speaking Spanish with the English dubbing over at a louder volume.
World socialists were forced to change their agenda. They left behind the class struggle based on the economic system and replaced this with other supposed social conflicts which are just as harmful to life as a community and to economic growth. The first of these new battles was the ridiculous and unnatural fight between man and woman. Libertarianism already provides for equality of the sexes. The cornerstone of our creed says that all humans are created equal, that we all have the same unalienable rights granted by the Creator, including life, freedom, and ownership. All that this radical feminism agenda has led to is greater state intervention to hinder the economic process, giving a job to bureaucrats who have not contributed anything to society. Examples, ministries of women or international organizations devoted to promoting this agenda. Another conflict presented by socialists is that of humans against nature, claiming that we human beings damage the planet, which should be protected at all costs, even going as far as advocating for population control mechanisms or the bloody abortion agenda. Unfortunately, these harmful ideas have taken a stronghold in our society. Neo-Marxists have managed to co-opt the common sense of the Western world, and this they have achieved.
I have to ask Ivor really quick, okay? And I'm going to take a quick ad break, right? I like to do ad breaks to help drive the ads that I get for Buzzsprout, which I've been getting some more lately, so I want to see if I can keep the train going, okay? But Ivor's comment right now, sorry, something popped up on my other screen. It's really annoying. He says, it's a great speech, almost about 20 minutes long. It was Reagan-esque. Why do you think they allowed him back there? Like, they're not going to really embrace libertarianism across the world when they're all globalists. Like, why are they allowing one singular voice there? They're going to shame him. At the end of the day, they're going to shame this dude. And I'm going to sit here and tell y'all, I told you so. With that, I'll be back in about a minute, okay? Go grab you a beer, take a quick bathroom break, whatever you need. See you shortly. All right, we are back. We are back on the Cosmic Show. Thank you guys for being patient. We got a couple of comments here by Ivor driving the chat in the Rumble. He might as well be a moderator at this point. He says they were trying to honeypot him. Well, he's already been there. He's already been honeypotted. He went to Davos several years ago. He said, how about them Packers? He must have seen my my Cowboys blanket in the background, and I'm always going to be a Cowboys fan, but holy shnikes, do we always get blown out in the playoffs by the Packers or miss last-second field goals or fumble snaps with Tony Romo. A lot of bad things happen when the Cowboys play the Pack. I knew. Dak is not that dude. Dak is no Aikman, and Tony Pollard is no Emmitt Smith, okay? Emmitt Smith was a fucking legend. There's a reason why he was one of the highest paid NFL players in the 90s. Absolute workhorse. His record might never be broken. If it does get broken, it's going to be due to the bullshit rule changes. Let's get back to Javier Melee. Thank you guys for always letting me go off in my own weird way and still supporting the show. Downloads in 102 countries at over 20,000 at this moment. Gotta love it, man. If you do listen on Spotify, please give me a 5-star review, as I think I'm at 2.7. That's bullshit, okay? There's only 22 of them on there. Let's try to fix that. That's so mean. 2.7. At least 3. Come on.
By appropriating the media, culture, universities, and also international organizations. The latter case is the most serious one, probably, because these are institutions that have enormous influence on political and economic decisions of the countries that make up the multilateral organizations. Fortunately, there's more and more of us who are daring to make our voices heard, because we see that if we don't truly and decisively fight against these ideas, the only possible fate is for us to have increasing levels of state regulation, socialism, poverty, and less freedom, and therefore will be having worse standards of living. The West has unfortunately already started to go along this path. I know.
I think I've been muted that whole time, or maybe not. Everything he was talking about right there, they're going to try to flip on him. So just go ahead and take out your pen. All those markers, they're going to try to sabotage.
Now, to many, it may sound ridiculous to suggest that the West has turned to socialism, but it's only ridiculous if you only limit yourself to the traditional economic definition of socialism, which says that it's an economic system where the state owns the means of production. This definition, in my view, should be updated in the light of current circumstances. Today, states don't need to directly control the means of production to control every aspect of the lives of individuals. With tools such as printing money, debt, subsidies, controlling the interest rate, price controls, and regulations to correct.
Calm down, bro. You can't talk about who controls the interest rates. I'll get you shot, dog. He doesn't watch the show.
The so-called market failures, they can control the lives and fates of millions of individuals. This is how we come to the point where, by using different names or guises, a good deal of the generally accepted political offers in most Western countries are collectivist variants, whether they proclaim to be openly communists, fascists, Nazis, socialists, social democrats, national socialists, democrat Christians, or Christian democrats.
They literally have all those in South America. He just knows. He could rattle them off.
Keynesians, progressive, populist, nationalists, or globalists. At bottom, there are no major differences. They all say that the state should steer all aspects of the lives of individuals. They all defend a model contrary to that one which led humanity to the most spectacular progress in its history. We have come here today to invite the rest of the countries in the Western world to get back on the path of prosperity, economic freedom, limited government, and unlimited respect for private property are essential elements for economic growth. And the
Argentina does not have a good track record of enforcing property rights.
Impoverishment produced by collectivism is no fantasy, nor is it an inescapable fate. But it's a reality that we Argentines know very well. We have lived through this. We have been through this. Because as I said earlier, ever since we decided to abandon the model of freedom that had made us rich, we have been caught up in a downward spiral, as part of which we are poorer and poorer day by day. So this is something we have lived through, and we are here to warn you about what can happen if the countries in the Western world that became rich through the model of freedom stay on this path of servitude. The case of Argentina is an empirical demonstration that no matter how rich you may be or how much you may have in terms of natural resources or how skilled your population may be or educated or how many bars of gold you may have in the central bank, if measures are adopted that hinder the free functioning of markets, free competition.
Okay. I've unfortunately heard enough of Javier Milei. He said enough allegedly anti-Semitic dog whistles there to ensure he never gets any further, so I expect one term or less and a crisis. God, it's almost comical, but I don't think anybody right now is seeing this through my lens. It's very weird to see nobody else on the same thing I am about Javier Milei, and of course I could be just flat out wrong, and I am wrong a lot. I mean, if you have more than a 60% hit rate on this shit, I think you're a soothsayer. So we're just asking the questions here, all right? And there's one thing he's 100% not going to be able to save us from, all right? And that's going to be Disease X. Disease X has already been talked about in previous forums. It's already, there's some alleged U.S. legislation already about a Disease X, but it's hitting the Twitter waves, the news waves, due to Davos 2024. And Milei will have no say in the treatment of this disease. A lot of music and techno and some text on here. I'm hoping they have some audio because I don't want to read all this. Okay, let's go ahead and help out the audio only listeners for a second. All right. The World Economic Forum is slated to hold a meeting called Preparing for Disease X on Wednesday. Today, where a panel of international speakers, including from the World Health Organization, pharmaceutical company AstraZeneca, and conglomerate Philips, will discuss which novel efforts are needed to prepare healthcare systems for the multiple challenges ahead. And thank goodness I always have different videos to pull up about this, but let's just get straight to the actual talk. We will definitely not watch all of this 48-minute video, but let's give it 5 minutes or so. Let's see if we gain anything of note from this. I wonder if Teodros is there. Teodros is a motherfucker. He deserves to hang. He is there!
Ladies and gentlemen, esteemed,
oh my God,
distinguished panelists, it's my pleasure to welcome you to this very important discussion this morning.
It's at the far right.
We have a catchy title, but I think what's behind it is basically how do we prepare for next emergency? How do we prepare our health system overall for next pandemic? We know, we all know very well, there will be viruses, there will be pathogens, there will be outbreaks. The idea is how do we prepare to contain those? How do we prepare outbreaks from becoming full-blown pandemics? We have been working on this for some time. Actually, there is a, this session links very well to some of the initiatives that the Center for Health and Healthcare at the World Economic Forum is working on. By the way, my name is Shyam Bishen, and I head up the Center for Health and Healthcare at the World Economic Forum. So we've been working on this. There is an initiative called Partnership for Health Systems, Sustainability and Resilience. Many of the folks here in the room are working with us on that. Basically, the idea is how do we prepare, as I said, how do we prepare the health system to respond to not just, pandemics, but also other crises. You know, we know there is a looming crisis of climate change. That's going to impact our health system. How do we respond?
Yeah, Ivor, that's the actual... maybe I should look for a different video, because this is actually the Associated Press's video. But let me look at... Let me find a different one, maybe. I know it was really low. It would be better on the audio only, but still. Should I find one that's better for everybody? It is really low. There's Disease X, the next global health threat on Global News, but I want a Davos reference. Look, there's another Davos one on the World Economic Forum set for 4 years ago. What is Disease X? Why it's trending? Come on, let me do Davos 2024 then. X preparation discussion in Davos? Or that was what I was listening to already. Yeah, it was. See, that's the first one that comes up. I think we need this video right here. Call you an audible.
Disease X is a term for a hypothetical illness, one that has not happened and is currently unknown. In the scenario, experts from around the globe are evaluating what would happen and what we would need to do in order to prepare for a virus that could claim up to 20 times more lives than the COVID-19 pandemic.
In Davos, the Disease X scenario took center stage Wednesday.
You may even call COVID as...
This motherfucker is evil. This guy has potentially billion lives on his hand. I don't even want to say that much, but he's done so much terrible work in Africa and India, Bangladesh, all those areas with his dastardly fake treatments and vaccines and medical policies. He's like the Fauci of the Eastern Hemisphere. Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus.
The first disease X. And it may happen again.
The WHO Director General acknowledges tough lessons were learned during COVID-19.
We lost many people because we couldn't manage them. They could have been saved, but there was no space. There was no enough oxygen. So how can you have a system that can expand when the need comes?
This bioethics professor says the pandemic showed us how one disease absorbing all available resources can lead to other health issues falling through the cracks.
A cancer diagnosis did not take place with very severe consequences for the people that were affected.
Schuckling says there are also ethical questions to consider when preparing for the next big health emergency.
Do we try to limit the number of lives that we lose? Or do we limit the number of life years that we lose? To what extent should we be concerned about equity considerations? Are we just concerned about health outcomes?
He cautions equity. Canada is not ready.
We will be wholly unprepared for this because we are under-resourced. We don't have the staff. We don't have the beds available. So it will be a major problem, obviously.
Anything happening is a matter of when, not if.
Catherine Ward, Global News.
That's a dark frame of mind, sir. I have one more video to share. I thank you guys for being here tonight. Make sure you follow me on all the platforms. I want to go to the top. Go ahead and take a note of this website, https://cosmicrotter33.wixsite.com/the cosmic show, but with dashes in between the and cosmic and show. So it's the dash cosmic show. Takes you straight to all I have to offer. And the video I want to share is how certain people from our past still have a say on the subject. And I think it's going to be quite hilarious when I show you that they're still talking to Al Gore about this nonsense. Like, Al Gore, he goes to the WEF every time now. Man, what kind of Illuminati ritual did he partake in? That guy, he's in good. He's in good forever. But here's Al Gore on John Kerry, COP28, and the U.S. election. This should be
good. Thank you for joining us.
Of course.
There's a lot going on. I don't know when we look at the policies surrounding climate change, whether it's slipped down because of conflicts in the Middle East, because of conflicts in Ukraine, and what you're expecting here in Davos.
Well, I think there's going to be a lot of fruitful discussion about the climate here. I hope we can make some further progress. So, you know, the conference in Dubai, where you did such great coverage, ended with an agreement to phase out fossil fuels. Some of those who signed up to that pledge are now trying to claim it was optional and trying to walk it back a little bit. But it's an important commitment that must be kept. As for your question, will it fall down the agenda? I don't think so. Mother Nature has other intentions. Unfortunately, the climate-related extreme weather events are underway right now, today, every day, every day. And we're continuing to add a huge additional amount of heat-trapping pollution to the sky every single day. The good news is that once we get to true net zero and stop adding, the temperatures will stop going up almost immediately with a lag of as little as 3 years. And if we stay at true net zero, half of the human...
He's so deep on this fake climate scam, and I guarantee you he still has energy shares in his portfolio. His family all came from oil. He's an oil man. Like, this is why they preach the scarcities, because people behind the scarcity of funding the lobbying and the protests, they actually have oil stock and natural gas stock. I know. Crazy, right? It's insane to imagine a world where they do that. I know.
Caused greenhouse gas pollution will fall out of the atmosphere in as little as 25 to 30 years. But getting there is very tough. It's a big if. But it's not an impossible if, because we now have better technologies that are cheaper in almost the entire world without pollution. Decades ago, one of the Saudi energy ministers famously said to his king, "We better remember that the Stone Age didn't end because of a shortage of stones. It ended because something better came along." Well, something better has come along to replace fossil fuels, but the power of the fossil fuel industry and the petrostates that depend on that revenue has been a major obstacle blocking progress. Little by little, that's beginning to give way. And I want to thank my friend John Kerry for his terrific service
to
the U.S. and I think people around the world.
This son of a bitch.
Debt of gratitude for his tireless work.
What does John Kerry stepping down mean for efforts on climate change?
Well, he'll be hard to replace because he brought the stature to have the kinds of meetings that a climate envoy needs to have. And of course, he shouldn't be judged just by the final result in Dubai. He's been there for several COPs. And, you know, in the Summer Olympics, when they judge the diving competition, the degree of difficulty has a great deal to do with the final score. And he undertook a tremendously difficult task and really did a terrific job, in my opinion.
Vice President, you've called for the way that COP works to change.
Yeah.
Are people listening?
I think they are. It's difficult to change it, but I think the time has come.
Such a generic quote. John Kerry's tireless work to deliver global progress on the climate crisis has been heroic. Al Gore.
Because for one thing, look, this is the second year in a row we're going to have a petrostate hosting the COP with an oil and gas veteran as the president of the COP. Come on. I mean, really? And the percentage of revenue coming from oil and gas in Azerbaijan, the host of this year's COP, is even larger than what it was in the United Arab Emirates. And it's not that they're bad people or have bad intentions. They just have a structural conflict of interest. Also, there is another problem. When the UN selects different regions, they rotate the three regions of the world, as you know. And any nation within that region has a veto power over where the COP can be held. So Russia, in this instance, said, no, you can't have it in any country that has sane policies. My editorial ad there, any NATO country, et cetera. And so it ended up in one of the ancient homes of the petroleum industry. Again, I personally believe that the Secretary General should have joint authority with the host nation to name the president of the COP. Secretary General Guterres does not want that authority, and I understand that. But I think the time has come to reform this process. The world is getting understandably impatient and frustrated that these conferences are rigged. They're rigged. The deck is stacked in favor of the fossil fuel industry.
But we did have agreements. So again, how do you have
such as they are? There's so many loopholes and so many tricky phrases. And it took 28 COPs, 28 years of COPs before we even.
All right. I'm so tired of this talk. He's about to get to the U.S. election, though. Maybe we should listen to him.
Use the phrase fossil fuels. The climate crisis is a fossil fuel crisis. That's what it is. And yet it's taken us this long to overcome their resistance and even naming the problem.
What happens to climate change pledges from the U.S. if President Trump has a
second? Oh, here we go.
Well, first of all, let me say that I think that in spite of the loopholes I mentioned in this agreement and in spite of the frustration many of the climate advocates, such as I, have felt about it, nevertheless, we see the direction of travel, as they use that phrase, for both business and government, shifting inexorably toward low carbon, renewable energy, and toward net zero. We see the same thing here at the World Economic Forum. This place is sometimes criticized. It's unique in bringing all kinds of people together in a way that doesn't happen anywhere else. And your question was,
if President Trump gets into the White House, what does that mean?
First of all, I hope that doesn't happen. There are many of my fellow Americans who are for him. You know, look at the last time when he became president, we continued the march toward renewable energy.
On the business side.
On the business side, and state governments continued to pursue carbon reduction. Here in Davos, a Republican red state governor from Georgia is leading off talking about the virtues of electric vehicles. We are seeing with the legislation that President Biden got passed, the Inflation Reduction Act, as it's called, the biggest climate legislation any nation's ever passed in history. We're seeing a change in the political realities on the ground in the U.S. with the creation of tens of thousands of new jobs in electric vehicles, batteries, wind, solar, efficiency, green hydrogen. And now some of these red states in particular, they're now seeing the benefits of all these new jobs being created. It's really changing the reality.
Do you think Donald Trump won't try and touch that?
I wouldn't even begin to predict what goes on in his calculations. And of course, tonight we will see the results of the first contest, which all the pundits tell us he's likely.
He definitely, Ivor says he could have been our first gay POTUS. He definitely gives off those vibes, Ivor.
To win, but in New Hampshire, it could be a different story. I'm not a political pundit myself, I won't opine on that. But I don't think, even were he to be elected, and I know that kind of looms over many people's calculations these days, even if he were to win, I think we would see a continuation of this progress towards zero carbon.
All right. I don't think we're quite done yet. I think we're done talking Davos, though. If you guys want to stick around, I have a little bit to say about immigration, right, and how it ties to talking about Davos 2024 and the fall of the United States, at least politically. But James O'Keefe is still active on Twitter. He does OMG Media. He's been posting a lot of exposés in the Southwest about the immigration issue, particularly about how they're using several shady nonprofits to bus these immigrants to certain locations and cities and then fly them to presumably, I guess, liberal cities. I mean, of course they're going to be liberal, right? But even sanctuary cities. But I did not realize there were that many on the East Coast. So I'm thinking about going down to Albuquerque's airport, maybe the bus stations and monitoring it. But I don't know if that's going to be worthwhile or even hard. Like, how do I say this? There's so much legitimate immigration and visitation that happens between Albuquerque and Las Cruces that it's going to be hard for me to discern what's nefarious or not unless I go straight by skin color, which is what we do see a lot nowadays. So it's a very confusing situation on our border. Globalism is proven to not be our friend. And why was Javier Milei there? I mean, it's crazy. Like, why is such a libertarian guy speaking at an event where he's the lone dissenting voice to an insidious global agenda? And then we will get to the final sign off. Ivor says, a friend of mine knew Al Gore in Vietnam. Did he dodge it? That motherfucker could have been nothing more than an admin. Don't even. I'm just guessing. What could have Al Gore done in Vietnam? This is the video I wanted to show a little bit about. This is in Tucson, Arizona.
So we're standing here at Santa Cruz and Drexler in Tucson in front of this major elitist facility that you probably never knew existed.
Leave him alone.
Who are you?
My father.
Can I have your full name, please?
No.
And they made some story up about how we were using racial slurs.
Originally, they said we were using racial
slurs. Racial slurs?
I don't like people like you.
Why not?
We're racist.
Why would you hide your badge?
I have no obligation to speak with you.
Came from.
We have a situation out here on the balcony.
Is that me? Are they talking about me?
Yeah.
My name is James O'Keefe, and I'm an investigative reporter doing an investigation into you and your facility. There's a shipment, I guess, of migrants coming into the facility.
Nobody's allowed into the facility.
Okay.
We're going to call the authorities right now.
Well, you're going to call the police on American journalists.
Support our independent journalism by going to O'KeefeShop.com and purchase our merchandise.
James O'Keefe here in Nogales, Arizona, right next to Nogales, Mexico. There's the border fence right there. So we're actually going to go down downtown Nogales, right on the border. That's the fence dividing Mexico and the United States. If you scroll right over here, this bank or this former bank building has been turned into an NGO called Elitist Angels. Typical. And the Elitist Angels NGO take the migrants, walk around the corner and load them onto buses where American Red Cross workers are staying there.
I want to pause it really quick. Ivor answered my question. He says Al Gore was a military reporter for Stars and Stripes, like Matt Modine in Full Metal Jacket. Holy shit. I did not know that.
It's actually a former bank, but notice it says, this is not a bank. Esto no es banco. This is not a bank. This is actually a local NGO organization where they have this sort of makeshift migrant facility. They actually locked the door when I showed up here. There are buses bound for Phoenix Sky Harbor, Tucson International Airport inside this facility. One American Red Cross worker got really belligerent with me and almost grabbed the camera and covered his badge so that we couldn't see it. I read his badge out loud.
Tucson looks so much like Albuquerque, I'm just going to say.
Why are you, sir, why are you blocking the camera?
What? Out of respect for humans, okay?
What do you mean, respect?
No discussion.
No,
no discussion.
Sir, Tucker Carey Vincent? Why are you covering your badge?
Why
are you covering your badge?
I'm done.
Where are you going?
California.
Why would you hide your badge?
I have no obligation to speak with you.
Yeah, but actually, I disagree with you. I think that as a public official who's getting hundreds of millions of dollars in federal money,
I actually. Okay, sure. Now you're switching gears here.
The moment we showed up, they scattered incredibly, like people with something to hide, locking doors, running away, hiding their badges in their vests.
Leave him alone.
I have a right to be here, ma'am.
Leave him alone.
Who are you?
Your father.
Ma'am, what do you mean you're my father? I have a father. He's in New Jersey.
I'm here.
And this guy over there is talking. We're getting valuable information because the man over there talking to the officials works with us.
Este programa federal. La ayuda que le dan. ¿Es programa federal o es?
Programa federal.
Sí, programa federal, sí. Alita se acepta fero money que sea non-profit.
No, viene de muchas partes, de condados.
Sí, sí, siempre tiene un familiar. Aquí tiene que tener un sponsor, sí, para que sí dejan todo. Sí, así. Sí, pues como te digo, ya hacen peticiones. Yo sé cómo corre el agua, como dice la gente. Entonces, ustedes no son los de. Esos son los de Texas, es del Alde.
Sí, Texas y todo aquello,
todo
lo que están
tratando
en California, creo también.
Sí, pues toda la línea, todo para abajo. Bueno.
¿Y que no, aquí estamos organizados para que no pase eso. No, no, no. Tienen unos días que andan así.
Tienen unos días aquí.
Sí, los camiones están en albergue, se quieren meter en los albergues.
Just by us walking over to this bus, they've actually called the police on us. Every time I show up anywhere, they just instantly call the police. All right. I'd like your name and badge number, please.
Garcia 276.
What's your first name?
Garcia 276.
Your name is just Garcia? Can I have your full name, please?
No.
Can I have your full name, please?
No. You guys are just...
I'm an American journalist. I don't protest. I report. What did they say?
They're just accusing you guys of not letting someone go.
Well, we have the footage. So as you can see there, the officer is talking to them, talked to me, went back, and they made some story up about how we were using racial slurs.
Originally, they said we were using racial
slurs. Racial slurs?
I don't like people like you.
Why not?
We're racist. You try to attack the people who work here.
The one gentleman came up, and it looked like he wanted to hurt me. He had his hand in his pocket there.
Get them.
Don't get nothing.
What's that?
Don't get nothing.
Who are you?
Me?
Yeah.
It's not your business.
None of you. Who's doing your business, man?
We pay money for this, so we want to know what's happening.
So you don't pay nothing for this organization?
My tax dollars go to pay for it.
My tax pay didn't pay too, and I don't tell nothing with the people.
Yep.
What are you talking about?
The guy who runs International Rescue Committee makes over $1 million a year off bringing people in this country. David Millibrand is his name. And his company brings in $400 million from the feds.
You try to attack the people who work here.
I have it all on video. I filmed everything. So I didn't attack anybody.
But then he found out that we were investigative reporters and he let us be.
Periodista de investigación.
Periodista.
Periodista.
Okay.
Elitas is a brand new 501c3 nonprofit organization. So we're going to go to Tucson, follow the white buses, and see the other facility where they hold the migrants, and get more information about Elitas.
So we're standing here at Santa Cruz and Drexler in Tucson in front of this major Elitas facility that you probably never knew existed. This is the bus that left from Nogales and has just arrived. How you doing, sir?
Hi.
You mind if we talk to the bus?
No.
We're a journalist. We're doing a story. This bus here came from...
We have a situation out here on the South.
Is that me? Are they talking about me?
Yeah.
What's the situation?
That you're here. I'm going to have to ask you guys to leave.
Am I allowed to stand here?
No.
I don't see what you're doing. Like, they're just recording right now.
Okay.
We're out here waiting for the bus for you. I'm just letting you know the situation that's going on.
This situation you hear through the radio, you can actually hear on the security guard's radio that there's a quote situation about my presence. And here comes another. Look at this guy waddling. If you want to zoom in on the waddling here, he's waddling towards me.
Yes.
What that's about. Are we allowed to stand on the dirt, ma'am?
No comment.
No comment.
This right here, it's part of this property.
Sir, what's your name and who are you with?
Don't worry about it.
None of your business, man.
Actually, I do worry about it because you guys get a couple $100 million in federal money. Let's see your face.
We're calling the authorities right now. What? If you guys are still here, that's fine. You guys can go with
You're going to call the police on American journalists. You go rip up the Constitution. We just spoke with Caleb Milford, the operations manager, who threatened to call the police on us for our presence here. As you can see, it says Pima County, Arizona. A lot of county officials wearing the badges. Santa Cruz County. Are you with the county of Santa Cruz? Or? They have school buses, and we've got big white buses through the fence. He said something like, it's none of my business again. It's none of my business, when in fact, this is a facility. As you can see, there's a lot of activity going on. Buses coming and going every 15 minutes, every 30 minutes. They are very scared about our presence here, and none of the American people know about this facility until now. We just spoke to the Uber driver who's pulling in to pick up the migrants. You're Uber? Are you picking up the refugees?
Yes.
You are picking up the refugees.
I know a lot of people here.
How long has this been operating?
A year? I pick up all the immigrants here, man. I live in Sudan.
Yeah. And what is, you know what the, you know Alitas?
Alita, I know the Jorge, George, Grace.
Jorge, George, and Grace.
Grace.
Yeah.
And Jason, Diego. I have his phone number also.
And the Uber driver gave me the phone of two employees work for Casa Alitas. In fact, he said.
That's cheap, James, but. Good job at pressing that Uber driver.
Saved them on his device as Jorge Casalitas and Jeanette Casalitas.
Jorge and Jeanette. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. All right. We're calling Jorge from Alitas. Hey there, this is James standing outside the Alitas facility.
Yes.
There's a shipment, I guess, of migrants coming into the facility. Alitas,
1150 West Drexel, but nobody's allowed into the facility.
Okay. So the car just has to park on the side here?
That is correct.
But just to be clear, I'm speaking with the right person. You're with Alitas?
No. I think you're confused.
Okay. Well, my name is James O'Keefe, and I'm an investigative reporter doing an investigation into you and your facility. And I'd like to ask you some questions. So I actually called Jorge, who denied his own identity as having worked with Casalitas.
Yeah, I think you've got the wrong person. So no. You can call CCS or whoever you need to talk to.
You sound pretty knowledgeable about the subject for someone who has nothing to do with it.
Alitas, 1150 West Drexel.
I've followed the buses all the way from Nogales to your facility, sir, and we're standing outside.
We'll continue with the investigation. That's fine.
I doubt you're going to be happy. Oh, he just got the phone on us. Because even though he's saved in the Uber driver's phone, so there's two organizations. One is Alitas Angels. And the other is called Casa Alitas. We know it's called Casa Alitas because the Uber driver picking up the migrants has the employees saved as Jorge Casa Alitas and Jeanette Casa Alitas. The Uber driver, strangely, giving me the phone numbers for these people just because I have a tag around my neck. I don't think he saw the word press there. In the dead of the night, there's a metaphor there someplace.
Support our...
very, very funny. Good shit by... James O'Keefe. I'm going to scroll through here to see if there's anything really hilarious that I got to show you guys before we leave. And then I'll sign off. I do think there's one thing I want to show you, and it doesn't really have to do with much about what we talked about tonight, except one of the very first topics. I tried to get banned on YouTube again. I was talking about Spaghetti Fence and Pizzagate. But I just want to let you know that Chrissy Teigen, according to Don Lucre, he's not an unreliable source, but he's kind of a shill reposting kind of source. He's trying to get monetized, but I think he's a glowy. But he's mentioning Chrissy Teigen announcing that she's a spokesperson for a baby blood stem cell storage company. And I'll just let you know that she was the person who said in 2011 that I'm about to Anthony Weiner this kid. And that's a direct quote. And let's just hear about this for one quick minute.
It looks like a president, which it is. This is a cord blood registry kit.
CBR is the number one choice for parents, and it's the most recommended by OBGYNs. CBR is also the largest family newborn stem cell preservation company in the world, helping parents store stem cells from cord blood and cord tissue for their children. But back to my gift. Let's talk about the gift of parenthood. As parents, we'd do anything to protect our children, from car seats to wearing a helmet on a bicycle to holding hands crossing the
street. Are you guys creeped out yet? I'm terrified.
Street. CBR is another way to potentially help protect them, both during childhood and as they grow up. This is truly a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to preserve your newborn stem cells from their umbilical cord. And to make this even better, it's quick, easy, and happens right at birth. It's a gift for today and tomorrow. By banking your newborn stem cells now, you may have access to current treatments and future clinical therapies, because science always advances. Bank on CBR for your children's futures.
Anyway, that's the show for the evening. If you have any strong thoughts about any of the subjects tonight, please call in 1-505-570-6631 and leave a message. Make sure you hit the like button on the stream on Rumble, especially on Rumble. Hit the like button, comment in the chats. Make sure you save the channel for next time. I go live almost every Wednesday, and I'm trying to go live more often. So I try to go live on Wednesdays between 5 and 6 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. I like to do the show with Mars Bar, so I really try to work it out with him. If it doesn't happen on Wednesdays at 5 p.m., it's usually because there's like a conflict. So it's hard to schedule streams, especially when there's one dude that you like to talk about this shit with all the time, and that he's my best friend. So we can't wait to have him back on the stream. Make sure you follow the podcast on Spotify, podcastindex.org, and Apple. And make sure on the Cosmic Show on YouTube that you follow these little 15-minute streams and you transition on over to Rumble, because there's going to be a day where I'm banned once again on YouTube, as we all know. And we'll see what happens. All right. I love you guys. Talk to you later. Peace.